Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us again on a week of very strange weather. I don't know how it is where you're living, but I was up late working on some paperwork, and I went out on my porch last night at 2 a.m., and it was 60 degrees and raining and blowing heavy winds. And today it's in the 30s. So strange things are going on. And we will have a whole lot of fun talking about all kinds of strange things. And we have a wonderful guest tonight, Deborah Robinson, who has a fascinating career as an actress in film and television, and also as a shaman and spiritual counselor and psychic. So she has some very special stuff to share. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing, which seems like it should be about shamanism, since we're talking about shamans, and we mentioned shamans. But a lot of people go, yeah, what's that? And first of all, whether you say it's shaman or shaman, if you happen to be from Britain, it's a word from a Siberian dialect. And the literal translation that I heard was the one who sees in the dark, meaning the one who sees things that other people can't see. And even more important than that is, not only does the shaman go into an altered, alternative state of consciousness and is able to see things that other people don't see, but is able to communicate with and frequently manipulate or get cooperation from the stuff that's in that all reality that they can only see when they shift their consciousness, and make changes that are helpful to their tribe. And that's what it is. The shaman is the person who takes care of the tribe using their very special skills. So one of the problems is people don't want to say whether or not they're a shaman, because it's a whole both mystique and I'm not sure what the right word is. I've been told if you call yourself a shaman, you're not one. Well, there are people who've been initiated into shamanic traditions from various parts of the world, and they certainly can call themselves shamans, whether or not they grew up in that tribe and were trained by an elder of that tribe. There are people who have been taken under the wing of the elder of a tribe somewhere, or sometimes have gone all over the world seeking out teachers, learning shamanic methods all over the place. But some people will just call themselves a shamanic practitioner rather than taking on the title. Other people call themselves a shaman. But what does it really mean? I met a man named Bill Russell several times at conventions, and he does a wonderful talk about levels of consciousness. And his background is that he was a physicist, and he kept asking questions that could not be answered by the scientific method. Science was just not satisfying his questioning of how the universe works. And he wound up going to two different places. He went to Hawaii, and I forget what the other place was, to be trained as a shaman in those traditions, because he knew that the answers, or at least the place where he could start his scientific inquiry, was in an alternative reality, and that he would only learn that from indigenous healers. When you think of Albert Einstein, all of his important discoveries started out with what he called thought experiments, what I would call a shamanic journey, in which he went into an altered state of consciousness and asked a question, and then had basically a vision. He asked the one everybody has heard about is, if I was sitting on a beam of light moving at the speed of light, what would I see? What would that experience be? And out of that came the work that he did that eventually led to the discovery that light is both an electromagnetic wave and a stream of particles. But he started out with intuition. He started out with an altered state of consciousness. Interesting. Who thinks of Einstein as a shaman?
I do.
So whether a person is an indigenous healer or has learned from indigenous healers or in some other way has been guided to the methods that indigenous healers all over the world, and it's all over the world, every single culture has people working in very, very similar ways, different because they're culturally different, different mythology, different things that they bring into the rituals. But the methods and the understandings all over the world for thousands and thousands of years have been basically the same. So I'm always skeptical of the skeptics. You know, the two things I say is, number one, do you really think that everybody all over the world came up with the same delusion and wrote it down in every conceivable way they could for future generations for thousands and thousands of years, and they were all either lying, delusional, or faking it? That makes no sense. And what do you do with the results? The thing about shamanic healing is it's all about results. You do some kind of intervention with the special talents that you've and skills that you've developed through your training and your experience. And the point of doing what you do is to get results, to help people. So when people say, well, that couldn't possibly be, the stuff you do is just too strange. Well, what do you do with the results? What do you do about the houses that sell when they didn't sell before? What do you do about the people whose bones healed in 2 weeks when the doctor said it couldn't? What do you do with? What do you do with? What do you do with? So there's the dilemma, and there's the introduction to shamanism. And I hope it was food for thought and gave you another little piece to the puzzle. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now to introduce someone that I would call a shaman. I don't know whether she would necessarily accept that title, but we'll find out. Deborah Robinson, you with us, Deborah?
Yes, I'm here. Evening.
And one of the things I love about Deborah and her whole story is she is also from Brooklyn. So we have another shaman who started out in Brooklyn. Who would have thought?
I am. Woo! I thought I'd give you some rattle action. Anyway, that's really interesting. Intro is really interesting. I never heard that before about the shaman. A shaman is one who's able to see in the dark. And that's really interesting because that's exactly what happened to me. I was initiated into shamanism, and now I am able to see in the dark when before I was not.
Right.
And I don't call myself a shaman, and you are the first one to call me a shaman, so I'm really honored and grateful, first of all, to be on your show, and thank you so much for having me. And you're the first person to call me a shaman, so thank you. I usually call myself a spiritual counselor, and mm-hmm. I've been doing some spiritual counseling and readings, psychic readings, and I live shamanically. I live by my shamanic practices, something that I learned through other shamans. And I knew nothing about shamanism in Brooklyn. that was not something that was ever in my consciousness, but my consciousness is quite changed. It's dramatically changed through my experience and through my initiations. And I'm grateful to be here to share my story with you and living the path of service. And I feel that, for me, we're all shamans. And to me, what a shaman is someone who is able to transform an experience that they go through. And I've definitely been able to do that many times in my life. And I feel that a shaman has the ability to heal oneself. And I've done tremendous study and research about the ability to heal oneself. And I've learned things that I never would have ever imagined that I've learned. And I'm really grateful for everything that I've learned and everything that's happened to me. I have been able to find the gift in everything, which is key for all of us right now.
Right.
So thank you.
My pleasure. You know, the whole issue of, you know, whether to call yourself a shaman is much bigger issue than most people realize. And I'm glad to be the first one giving you that title, because clearly you've done all the homework and initiations, and you're the real deal. You went and did it.
Thank you. And I live it every day. I really do. I have to say, not to toot my own horn, but I really live my practices. There's not a day since I've been on this path that I have not done my practices. Every morning I meditate, I pray, I ask for help, I call on my guides, and I do it every night as well. And I sleep in sacred space. And before I joined you tonight, not only was I dancing, as I shared with you before we got on the radio, but I called on sacred space. And I do everything in sacred space because, to me, energy is sacred. And I really didn't know that when I became a Reiki master when I was about 40. I really didn't know how sacred energy was. And I had to go through a very dramatic experience to find out how sacred energy is. And I really live in sacred space, and I really live these practices every day as a chance for all of us to practice again. And I don't know if anyone who's listening had the opportunity to see the film Cloud Atlas. But
oh, yes.
That movie was very shamanic. You know, that's based on shamanic principles that we've all met before, and we've all played all the roles, the bad guy, the good guy, and that we've danced together in many lifetimes. And that's what shamanism is. And this path, and this journey that I've been on, has really given me hope. And without it, I really have to say, with what I went through, that I would not be here. So I am so grateful to my lineage and to all the shamans that I've met and all the experiences that I've had, because they've changed and shifted my perception and my life. And I'm very grateful, really grateful.
And it's that shift in perception. Which, if you just say it to most people that haven't had the experience, they have no idea what you're talking about, because it's totally an experience. But it's that shift in perception and realizing the world is not only what we understand it to be, but much more complex, much more interesting, much bigger. And that each of us also is much more complex, much bigger, much more interesting, and much more powerful than we've been led to believe.
Absolutely. Agreed. Absolutely. I've been learning that. And recently I've been doing a lot of my own studying. I'm still, I'm going to the Four Winds Society. I haven't completed. I did finish my medicine wheel training, which took about a year for me to go around the wheel. And I'm about halfway through the school. I'm actually applying for some grants right now. If anybody's listening and wants to contribute, it's not a very expensive school, but it's a wonderful school. And the reason why I love that school so much is because it's all about self-empowerment. And I love that the name of your radio show is Empowering Radio. I love that, because I feel that today in this world, you know, it's not easy. And I really feel, and I'm passionate about empowering people. So that's the gift that was given to me, which I didn't have before my experience. I really feel that we need to empower one another to be the best that we can be. And there's no time for anything else. The Laika, you know, the elders from Peru, who I have been, you know, given the great pleasure of being gifted with the rites that I received from them, they say, you know, there's no more time. There's no more time for judgment. There's no more time for hurting people. There's no more time for jealousy. We have to empower one another now to be the best that we can be. And why do anything else? And they say also that if you gossip about anyone or you hurt anybody, you not only send a curse to the person, but you send a curse to yourself. And I really learned to think about everything, my thoughts, my actions. I learned that words have energy that can actually harm people, that can penetrate our fields. And this is not something that people know. I did not know it. So I really think that, you know, we live in a sacred time, a time where people like me and you and all the people that I've been blessed to meet who are doing this work, we can share this wisdom with the world. And that's what I intend to do. That's what I have been guided to do by spirit. And that's what my life is now. It really is. I'm dedicated to the path of service, which I really always was, but was kind of taken off the path a few times.
Right.
And now I'm not going to be. this is my path now. I really want to help people to empower them, to be the best that they can be. And why not? You know, we all deserve that. So I'm grateful to be able to share.
Beautifully expressed.
Thank you.
So you mentioned several different traditions that you've been trained in, you've had exposure to. Why don't you tell us what, you know, where have you been? What have you done? that's another aspect of being a shaman is it's all stories.
Right.
There's a Native American expression, talk story.
Right.
You know, he talks story. So, tell us your story.
Well, at the Four Winds Society, interestingly enough, a lot of their teaching is about not telling your story, getting rid of the story. And I don't share my story to bring the energy back to me. That's not the purpose. I share my story with the intention of helping other people to empower them. Because that whole practice is about doing everything in the energetic. Like you said in the beginning, your intro, the shaman works in the unseen world. And that's the world that we work in. That's the world that we create in. But I started my journey, actually, I started as a Reiki master first. I went through that practice of becoming a Reiki master. But the training that I received was good, and it was great at the time, but I really didn't learn what I needed to learn. So I had to have an experience that I went through to discover what I needed to learn, because I wasn't really taught correctly about energy until I actually went to the school. But so after my Reiki mastership, I was still acting at the time, I got into shamanism. I met a Native American spiritualist, and I studied with him for a while. And that meeting was actually what shifted my life greatly. I studied, you know, the medicine wheel and the tradition of the Native American, and that was really life-changing, and I loved it. But what I discovered at the time, I don't know if you want me to get into this now, but I discovered that some of the people in my community were using sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew what sorcery was in this lifetime, but I have discovered through my training at the Four Winds that I have been involved in sorcery in other lifetimes, and I knew what sorcery was then, but there were some people in my community that were doing sorcery, and they were using energy without integrity. They were doing things that were harmful, and I didn't know that. I was very open.
So why don't you define sorcery for the folks that only know it as a word in Disney movies?
Well, I kind of, yeah, sometimes I feel a little bit like Harry Potter, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, some of the things that I went through were, and I wanted to share this quote that I posted by Joseph Campbell. Somebody made a movie about Joseph Campbell on the hero's journey, and this quote really resonated with me, and I just wanted to share it. It says, "The black moment is the moment when the real message of transformation is going to come. At the darkest moment comes the light." And at the darkest moment comes the light. And it really resonates with me. I really didn't know what sorcery was. And there's actually a whole class about sorcery at the Four Winds Society School. And sorcery is, you know, practices that people use that are harmful to other people, you know, sending harmful energy, curses, voodoo. I mean, there's a lot of different things. And a lot of people thank goodness, have not had the experience with sorcery that I have had. But I feel that it was part of my journey, and now I feel I must have gone through that so that I could help other people who have gone through that.
Right.
And so that they know that there is help out there. Because when it happened to me, I had no idea. But sorcery, I have to say, is also self-sorcery. And we learn that at the school. We learn a lot about the shadow and the shadow self and the shadow aspects. And what I learned when I went to the Four Winds and I took the sorcery class was that, you know, why did I draw this sorcery to me? You know, who was the sorcerer within me? And what I've learned is, and this is a hard thing to hear and accept, is that we all have sorcerers within us. It's not just me, but it's all of us. We all do. We're all capable of harmful actions. And if somebody is on the radio saying, no, that's not me, or anyone who's listening, you really have to look within. And I post a lot about looking in the mirror, you know, before you do anything, you know, with your intentions. Everything's intention, you know, before you, anything that you do, your thoughts, anything you're doing. So sorcery is a lot of things. It's not only what people do, but for an example, I took a workshop with Alberto Velloto, the head of the Four Winds, and he demonstrated in a class how someone can harm you just with intention. They can penetrate your field. They could cut into your field, and you could be harmed, no matter the distance. And I was horrified. I mean, David, I have to tell you, when I discovered what had happened to me, I was heartbroken. I mean, it was really heartbreaking because I really loved my community. I loved my classes. I really trusted these people with my life, and that was my mistake. It wasn't their mistake. It was my mistake. And you know, I really transformed and transcended a lot of what I went through because now I have compassion. I mean, if I told you what I went through, it was horrifying, but I have compassion for those people now, which is huge because they are not able to do the work, you know, and a lot of people are not able to do this work, and they use their power. They misuse their power. And a lot of people in the world do it, not just energy people.
I think the misuse of power is in many ways more common than understanding how to use power. And, you know, in Star Wars terms, it's the dark side of the Force. You know, the power is neutral. The ability to be in contact with and use the energy is neutral. It's what you do with it, whether you're... What I always say is, are you praying for people or are you praying on people? But all childhood abuse is a form of dark magic, and it always damages the energy field, making people more vulnerable to things in the future.
Absolutely.
So it all fits together. We're going to be going to a break shortly. I want to make sure people know how to find you if they want to contact you.
It's my Facebook page is the best place. It's www.facebook.com/DeborahVoicesOfTheVoiceless.com. Please message me there if anyone's interested in spiritual counseling or psychic readings. And I'm really good at seeing things, and I have to give myself credit for that, that most people can't see. And I think it's because of my experience. So my readings are quite good.
Excellent. We have to trade.
You got it.
Terrific. I want people to know that if you want to ask questions or make comments during the show and you have a Twitter account, you can just send a message with the hashtag Farkas Files, capital F-A-R-K-A-S, capital F-I-L-E-S. So hashtag Farkas Files. And I'm sitting here with a window open, looking at Twitter, and I will see your message immediately, and we can acknowledge you and talk about what your question or comment is. So please do that. We're getting really, really high tech. So when we get back, you know, one of the things that we had talked about before the show was your telling the the part of your story that nobody has ever heard before. And okay. if you're still willing to do that, which I think will be very, very powerful for everybody, I want to take the chunk of time that we have right after the break and do that. Okay. So we're going to head out to the break. This is David Franklin Farkas with my guest, Deborah Robinson, on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
License and registration.
But I'm walking.
Do you want to upset an officer of the law?
No, sir.
Good. I pulled you over today for littering.
I didn't litter.
Wow. That's what they all say. Unfortunately, I saw you drop a pair of thunder thighs a few blocks back. Probably happened as you were biting into that apple you're holding.
How'd you know they're my thunder thighs?
Well, my young friend, I'd like to say 2 years in the police academy helped figure it out. But between us, it was smallstep.gov.
Smallstep.gov?
Yep-a-rooney. It's this site with tons of easy ways to lose weight. Some steps are so easy, people don't realize they're doing them. Like you taking small step number 83, snack on fruits. Go to smallstep.gov, you'll see. You can drive off now.
I'm still walking.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My name is Meera Batra. I have been in this country 32 years, and this is how I live united. America has always been the land of promise, and in my community, many families have come for a better life. Coming from another culture myself, I know the desire to become part of a community, to feel at home, and to gain the tools for our children and families to succeed. So I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to look beyond their histories and to see what opportunities are available. We help them get involved with their kids' schools, network within the community, and when we do, we unite them. We make the community stronger. What I do is something I wish someone had done for me, and I am so grateful I am able to. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunities and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Deborah Robinson, actor and shaman, psychic, spiritual counselor, and somebody who has been through all kinds of interesting things and is going to tell us about them.
Okay. Should I sing from Les Mis? I'm just kidding. I just have to share, David. I just went on my Facebook page, and the sweet woman who comes on my page, you know, I guess is listening, and I'm really honored that she is, but she seems afraid, and she wrote that she's praying for me, and I just wanted to say very clearly that is not my intention, is not to instill fear in anyone. My intention of sharing my story is for myself because I feel like in a way it's going to diminish what happened to me by getting it out there. And also for me, it'll diminish it. And also it's for people who could be going through something like this, number one. And number two, it's for people to know that they have to use discernment. This is something that I did not know and I did not do. I did not use discernment. And that when you go to a healer, that you really, you have to research the person. You have to make sure that they're in integrity. It's like going to a doctor. People don't understand that we have an etheric field. So that when somebody's working on you, they're actually cutting into your field. They're working on your field. So I am not about fear. I have transcended so much fear, and I was terrified, and I'm about to share with you my story, but I'm here to instill love and hope and empowerment in people and to share with people that you can get through things, number one, and number two, that you can transcend things so much in your life, whatever crisis you're going through, that when you come out the other side, you realize that everything that happens to us is divine, number one, and number two, it's a gift. From the most horrible things, everything's divine and everything's a gift, whatever it is, for all of us, because we're all related and we're all connected, so whatever happens to me happens to you. So I hope that clears things up. I don't want to frighten anybody with my story. That is not my intention. And I'm trying to use some humor.
I wonder, depending on the tradition and the background of the person listening to shamanism at all, they could have a lot of fear around all of this stuff because there are religions that say all of this stuff is wrong, even though
I know
if you have somebody with a lot of knowledge of the original scripture and what it says, someone like my friend Christina Rake, you find out that most of the things people are afraid of are not what the scripture talked about.
Right.
It's a mistranslation and an emphasis that was done for political reasons.
Absolutely. And that's another whole, I mean, we could talk for hours.
Right.
I mean, this whole experience, and I'll share now if you want me to. This whole experience has led me to a consciousness that I did not have, number one. My consciousness is so high now, which is great, and sometimes it's hard in the world, as you know, as you and I have talked about. But it's shifted my life. I mean, I have completely shifted my life, and I honor myself at a level that I never did. And I had to shift all that. Everything that I went through was on purpose. It brought me to the place where I'm at. I honor myself at a very high level, and I didn't before. And that was just an imprint. We learn in shamanism, we have imprints on our fields that have to be cleared, that have to be released. And that was my imprint. And now, thankfully, I'm in a different place, and I'm grateful. It's still hard sometimes. I went through a lot. But, you know, sometimes it seems like a dream. But anyway, so no fear, love. You know, I've come to this place now, where I am now, where I realize that love is who we are and all we are. And that's it. It's that simple. And I've connected with, like, star beings, which I never would have had that opportunity if this hadn't happened to me, through the rites that I received at the Munyaki. And these star beings are just, they live in love. And I am grateful to the star beings that have helped me and still continue to help me. So if you want, I will tell my story.
Absolutely.
I kind of told it a little bit already, and it was just about 2 years ago. No, it's going on three now. It was 2010. It actually started in 2009. I was still acting. I actually was getting some featured roles, and I was working a lot in the acting business, more than I ever had. And some mysterious things happened to me. I was a Reiki master, and I was clairaudient at the time. And I suddenly lost all my guidance, and I started having car accidents. I was very sick. I was depressed. I wanted to kill myself. I was lying in bed, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. I had no idea what was wrong with me. I was just really down to the bottom of me and parts of me. And I didn't know what was wrong. And I was seeking help from everybody. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. And I knew that it was energetic. I'm very holistic, and I'm into healing myself holistically, you know, with food and everything like that. So I'm not very into, you know, doctors, if I don't have to go to a doctor. And I knew that it was energetic. I just knew that it was energetic. I knew that it wasn't a physical illness. I just knew it. So what happened was I was searching. I was looking. I studied the Kabbalah for a while. I was looking for answers. I was looking for help. And was going to all these practitioners that I knew, and nobody could help me. And the shaman that I was working with at the time, I asked him at this time for a native name. And he gave me a native name. And within 2 weeks of that name, I was burning. My whole body was burning. And I didn't know why. And I figured it out pretty quick. All my guidance came back with that name. It was a very powerful name. And the name is Dancing Daughter of the Moon. Mm-hmm. And I earned that name. That's one of my names. And the lineage of Laika gave me the name Golden Eagle. Those are my two names. But I've earned that name now, so I still use it. I still keep it. Anyway, I just got a text. In 2 weeks, I had discovered through dreams, I have very psychic dreams, and I still continue to have psychic dreams. I discovered that someone had put a curse on me in my community of healers that I would go to all the time, and that they were using sorcery. And, you know, I don't want to, my intent of telling the story is not to harm them or name them or anything like that, but it's just for helping other people that could be going through something like this. But I discovered it. I figured it out. Nobody else could figure it out. And I was terrified when I figured it out. I was seeing signs. You know how we see signs? I see signs all the time. The signs were everywhere. The signs were like, it was almost crazy. It was really intense. And I was seeing the signs everywhere, and I put it all together. I figured it out. And once I figured it out, I was terrified. I was horrified. And I was, like, heartbroken. And I felt like, why would anybody want to harm me or hurt me? And I found out that it was connected to this shaman. It was connected to him, people that knew him, that were jealous of our relationship, and just crazy shenanigans. And then I went through, you know, it was a horrible time, a time when I was completely alone and my body was burning. And my etheric field was really damaged. And I thought I was going to die. I just was sure that this was it, this was the end, and I was going to die. And, you know, I told my family, they thought I was crazy. And most people, a lot of people would think that I was crazy. But I wasn't. I was having an experience with energy that I had never had before. I had energy attacking me at times. I was yelling at it. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't see it. I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep for 2 years. I was very skinny. I stopped acting, of course, and I wasn't able to work. And I lived like that for a long time. And it was very lonely. It was a very hard experience to go through by myself. And I felt very alone, and I thought I was going to die. But I kept doing my practices. And at the time, I was doing Native American practices. I would go to the sunrise, and I would pray, and I would ask for help. And luckily and gratefully, I was gifted with this man who has become a mentor and a friend, and his name is Wally Vincenzi. And I don't know if he's listening on the radio. But he knew about this stuff. And I met him through Facebook. I wasn't going outside. I was afraid to go outside. It was a very, very dark time. I was just terrified. I was just in fear, constant fear. And this man, Wally, you know, has now become a friend, a good friend. And he just loved me unconditionally. And he really showed me unconditional love. He didn't want anything from me. And he connected me back to the angels. And we did a ceremony and, you know, released the energy. And that was the beginning of my journey. And, you know, he helped me as much as he could. And he still continues to help me. And he's a great friend and an amazing man. And I'm really grateful to him. And I love him very much, although sometimes we argue. I mean, he's incredible. I never thought that I would meet someone like that. He was the only person I talked to. And he talked to me every day. I mean, this man is really a saint. He is. He really is. And I love him. But after that, you know, I left where I was living. And I, you know, still was going through tremendous feelings. I went through a rage that I didn't know I had inside me. I wanted to kill. I was so angry. I was filled with rage. And I went through feelings and emotions that I didn't know that I had within me. And some friends of mine think this would make a great movie. And I think that it would too. I mean, my story is so unbelievable even to me, just even sharing it, I almost feel like I'm outside, you know, of the story now, which is great. But it was, I mean, I don't know if I'm expressing enough how horrible it was, how frightening it was, how terrifying. And I didn't know what was going on because I couldn't see in the dark, David, as you described right. at the time. I couldn't see. I knew something was there, but I couldn't see. And thankfully, you know, Wally helped me as much as he could. And then I left my location and I started researching and studying and becoming an expert. That's what I had to do. I said, I have to become an expert so that this doesn't happen to me, figure out why this happened to me. And I was very drawn to the rights of the Munyaki. I kept hearing about the rights of the Munyaki. I said, what are these rights? I kept researching about them. And my soul, my spirit was drawn to them. And thank God I got a call from someone, a shaman, Scott Wheeler, who also was really there for me and really helped me in the beginning of my journey. And he brought the hummingbird to me, the hummingbird medicine, which is the direction of the north and the medicine wheel. And I decided to go to the Four Winds Society, to go to the school, to go through that program. Mm-hmm. And when I received those rites, my vision opened up. By my third class, I was able to see spirits. I was able to see in the dark. And now I can see in the dark. And at first, when I would see spirits, I was scared. I was terrified. Sure. Now I am not scared. Now I'm like, what is that? What is that? You know? So, I mean, it's been great. And my psychic ability is just amazing now. And I'm really grateful. And I did a lot of work on myself. And that's something that I want to share with people, really, that, you know, we have to do the work. We have to do the work on ourselves. Right. And I did, from there, I went through the program. I had to face myself. It was all about me, myself, and why I attracted the story, working on my shadow, doing tons of ceremony, fires, and practices. And I was willing to do that work, and I still am. And that's what my soul calls out for, is that work. And this is my soul's journey. So I just want to share, I hope that story didn't sound scary. It was really scary when it was happening.
Well, you know, that story gets told all the time.
I didn't know
but,
that.
But the intervention when the person is in that dark place is very different. So, you know, people will wind up in a psychiatric hospital or on meds, or they will self-medicate.
Right, that could have happened. That could have happened.
Yeah, that happens all the time. It's not that people don't go into those dark places. It's not that people don't get psychically attacked. They don't understand what's going on, and they wouldn't use those words.
Right.
But either they look for a solution that'll make the pain go away themselves, which is usually drugs or suicide, or they try to get help from the medical model and
not me.
And they get put on medication that way. Either any of those will shut down the shamanic process, will shut down the learning and the healing. There was, for a while, Stanislav Grof, and I forget what his wife's name is, created a network of healers called the Spiritual Emergency Network, and then it was called the Spiritual Emergence Network. That was intended to create safe spaces for people going through that.
I didn't know that.
Seeing it at, it's gone. I don't really know what I don't really know what the transition was that it disappeared. But it was active for a while.
There should be resources, and my hope, David, and I really feel like this is going to come true because you see what's going on. This is the year of truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told from Archangel Michael, the year of truth, 2013. I believe, and Alberto Velludo, I'm so grateful. We're not friends or anything, but I'm so grateful. He wrote an article about this without fear. You know, we have to tell the story. Someone has to tell it. Someone has to be brave enough to share it. And I feel like, why not be me? It has to be told, because, you know, like these, I don't know if you saw these women are rising on February 14th, Women Against Violence. We have to rise now. We have to rise together. We have to empower one another in every way. And that's why I share my story, because I transcended it. And if anyone's out there who's suffering, there is help. And I'm grateful now that all the people that I meet have incredible integrity. And, you know, the people that I was meeting before, they matched me. They matched an aspect of me that needed to be healed. And right. I take full responsibility for that. You know, I don't think anyone deserves to be punished or harmed or hurt. And my hope is that people won't do that any longer. But, you know, I attracted people who weren't healed because I wasn't healed.
Mm-hmm.
So now I don't attract people like that. And I attract people who have integrity. And, you know, I have compassion for those people, and I pray for those people, and I really hope that they look in the mirror, that they get help too, and to know that they don't have to harm anyone. You know, I think people who harm people really just have great self-hatred of themselves, and they can't face themselves. And
well, they have a lot of pain, but they also typically have a tremendous amount of fear, and and anger, and the anger is, I always say anger is fear in drag.
Right.
You know, anger is much more comfortable than fear, especially for men.
Right.
And so you can rage, you can act out, you can do all of that stuff and never look at the fear and never look at the dark place.
Right. And that's the main message, that we all have the capacity to do this. Every single one of us have the capacity to harm and to hurt. And that's part of us that we have to look at, and we learn to honor and embrace it. And it's our shadow. And once you honor and embrace your shadow, which I had never done this work before, none of the practitioners that I met ever talked about the shadow, and they all need to do some shadow work, but it's not my place. I can't, they're on their own journey. And, you know, this is why I have so much passion for people like the homeless. Because now that I'm older and I know so much about energy, I've learned so much. We could have a whole nother discussion about all the things that I've learned, like I'm sure you have. You know, a lot of those people in those low vibrational places pick up entities. They pick up attachments.
And they all have very severely damaged energy fields from everything that's happened to them.
Absolutely.
So they're very vulnerable to all of that. So it's basically energy parasites.
Yep. Yeah. So I've learned a lot, and I now find the gift in all of this. And I realized that everyone that I met was on purpose. Everyone was divine. And I'm grateful. They have been if I hadn't met those people and if I hadn't gone through this experience, I wouldn't be where I am now. And I've shifted and changed so much. And my life is very different. I mean, what I value is different. And I feel like I have been given the gift of knowing what really matters. And a lot of times I feel like, I don't know if you know Neil Donald Walsh's story, but his story kept me going through a lot of my own challenges, because he was homeless. He lost everything.
Yeah.
You know, he had to lose everything before he finally got it. And that's the same thing that happened to me, and I see that as a gift. So, you know, it's not easy, but
yeah,
it's also
part of one of the things I talk about a lot on the show is the idea of walkabout and an initiation where you go out into the world with basically nothing to be guided by spirit and learn what you need to learn and have the transformation that you need before you can come back and reintegrate into the part of the normal world with a healing all the old stuff and an integration of new knowledge. And, you know, when I was apprenticing in California, for a year and a half of that time, I was living in a camper and working nights at a psych hospital while I was studying with two shamans. It was, you know, I called it high-tech homeless. I had more than the people on the street did. I had my stuff in my space, but I still didn't have a place to live. And there are many versions of that where people wind up with much less than they think they can survive with in a place that they don't know anybody and don't know what they're going to do. And that's where the learning happens. That's where the deep transformation happens.
I totally agree. And I have to share really quickly, I know we're about to end, but I've been listening to this woman who channels the language of light, the original language. She works with a lot of the star beings who I've been gifted to connect with recently, who've been really helping me, who are amazing healers, who, you know, a lot of people don't know about. But she said that right now, a lot of light workers are still in the caterpillar phase, because I know a lot of us are still going through a hard time. So if anyone's listening and understands what I'm talking about, she said that, you know, in a couple of months, the transformation, you know, of the butterfly will take place. We all thought we'd be butterflies by now, but it's a really, you know, this is not an easy path, but it's the path that my soul has chosen. And I gave up everything that I had. I decided to leave where I was living. I gave up all my things. I came to where I am now, you know, with a couple of boxes, and I live alone, and I'm happy. I'm grateful and I'm happy. I mean, I'm sad about some of the people who are not in my life now, and I wish that they could be, but I realize that I can't make them be in my life. If they want to be in my life, then they're going to have to do the work to be in my life, because I honor myself now at a higher level that I ever had, and I will not tolerate being treated in a way that I was treated before. So this is a story of hope and transformation and empowerment. I have learned how to empower myself, and I have the tools now every day to connect with my guides and my spirit and walk in the world with love in my heart and without fear. Yeah. And what a story is that? That's an incredible story.
Exactly. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Because I know, as is often the case with my wonderful guests, we could keep going and going and going. So maybe you'll have to come on
another
time. You're
great. I have to say you're great. I was very nervous, and you have great energy. And I want to thank you for having me on your show to share this story. And I'm glad that it was you, because you really made me feel safe. And I feel like you have a very sacred, safe space. So thank you. I'm honored that you had me on.
Thank you so much. And perhaps you'll be on another time to talk about other aspects of what you're doing. So my guest is Deborah Robinson, actor, shaman, healer, psychic, counselor.
Singer, dancer,
photographer. pretty amazing gal. And you can find her on Facebook, Deborah Robinson, Voice of the Voiceless.
Voices of the Voiceless. Deborah Robinson, Voices of the Voiceless. Thank you.
And check out what she does. It's really wonderful. Deborah, thanks so much for being on the show.
David, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you. If people would like to know more about my work, because Deborah says I'm the best, and hopefully some other people might too, you can go to househealing.com. Go to the contact page, and you'll find every conceivable kind of technology to contact me, including my online scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute complimentary assessment and reading of what's going on with you, and we can see whether my work is appropriate for you and how I can help. So please take advantage of that. Get in touch. So tonight, not only did we talk a little bit about what shamanism is, but you heard somebody's path at becoming a shaman. And I hope it's given a new perspective to your own path. So next week, my guest is Joey Korn, who in the dowsing world is extremely well known. And he has a perspective on healing and transforming what seems to be negativity into beneficial energy that is profound. So I'm really excited. He's got a new book, and we'll be talking to Joey next week. So until then, This is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. We'll see you next week.